higher wages, scrambling your data, and popping cider, not champagne. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Minimum wage workers in more than a dozen states and several cities will get more pay in the new year. Some states have automatic annual increases, but others have responded to complaints that you can't live on the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. That's $15,000 a year if you never took a day off. Demands for pay closer to $15 an hour have become a chant on many a picket line this year. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
For those calling for a higher minimum wage, 2015 was a win. Christine Owens is executive director of the National Employment Law Project.
We really saw more activity on raising minimum wages locally than I think we ever have. It was a banner year, and we're looking forward to similar activity in 2016.
Massachusetts and California are pushing wages up to $10 an hour in the new year. Cities like Seattle and New York are bumping pay for certain workers to get closer to $15 an hour.
They'll have a little more money in their pockets. They'll be able to pay bills on time. They'll be able to do a little more spending.
I would say that a more realistic perspective is that for some employees who don't lose hours of their jobs, that may be the case. For other employees, that's not going to be the case.
That's Michael Saltzman, research director at the Employment Policies Institute. He agrees 2016 will be an important year for the minimum wage debate.
Because when you have some states that are higher than neighboring states, it creates a nice natural experiment to study how severe, let's say, job loss is or how high prices are raised after it goes up.
Or if those things happen at all. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. London's 100 share index is down 0.3%. They're closing early for New Year's. Same decline for the CAC 40 in Paris. The Frankfurt Exchange is off all day. The U.S. bond market knocks off early today, but the stock market closes at the regular time so that the Wall Street folks can all get stuck in that Times Square traffic. Speaking of popping corks, American cider makers are enjoying a boom. Craft brewers of hard cider just got a sweet deal as part of the $1.1 trillion budget bill that Congress passed before Christmas. From Portland, Oregon, a hub of the new cider scene, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Cider is an ancient English drink, but it's only taken off here recently. And things are about to get better with the inclusion of the Cider Act in the recent federal budget bill. Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden delivered the news to a crowd back home.
We got this done in Washington, D.C. How do you like them apples?
Hard cider will now face lower taxes, and brewers can load it up with more alcohol and carbonation. The looser regulations should help sales, which have been soaring, says industry consultant Jim Hertel.
It's the premium mainstream beers that are really being challenged.
How about challenges to the other bubbly? Well, Hertel doesn't think champagne will face any real competition from upstart ciders this New Year's. But Stephen Jackson Luther at the Portland Cider House is bracing for a busy night.
So we have mojito cider and first crop fresh hop, passion fruit.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
London Dry Gin, Santa Sauce, Perfect Perry.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. We've been talking to our reporters on the beat about 2016. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is with us from San Francisco here. Morning, Molly.
Good morning, David Brancaccio. How are you?
Good. You know, we used to say wearables would be the big thing, cord cutting when it comes to where you get your TV service. Drones, what do you think the hot topic of 2016 is going to be on your beat?
Yeah, all of that is over, and the hot topic of 2016, I think, is going to be encryption.
Encryption? I thought you promised there would be no math.
In fact, it's the opposite. There is going to be so much math. No, I think encryption is poised to be among the great tech debates of 2016. And part of the reason is because we've seen, even in the last few years, but certainly in 2015, a dramatic increase in cyber attacks. And security experts are saying, you have to encrypt this stuff. You have to store it in the equivalent of a really strong bank safe. And you have to encrypt your communications when you're sending emails, when you're sending personal messages. So locking down communications is a big priority for next year.
So if we ended this interview now, how could we not encrypt to the highest levels of secrecy? But there's a security counterargument, a law enforcement and national security counterargument.
Even as companies in Silicon Valley are working to encrypt personal messages, the government is saying that hinders our ability to investigate suspected terror threats or other crimes because we can't see these messages. And so you have these security agencies saying we need some sort of protection. We need either weaker encryption or backdoors into the encryption in case we need to do an investigation. And obviously the companies and the technologists are saying encryption with a hole in it is no encryption at all. It's even become part of the presidential campaign. Hillary Clinton was asked about it among other candidates. And a lot of these candidates, a lot of these politicians aren't up to speed. She flat out said she doesn't know enough about the technology just yet to really debate it. So expect some education campaigns.
All right. But what is the public saying about this?
In the last few years, identity theft has been top of mind for Americans repeatedly. In fact, the most recent Gallup poll to ask people about this topic found that more than 66% of people rank identity theft as their top crime concern in America. Now, a more recent Gallup poll, as of just about a week ago, found that 40% of Americans think fighting terrorism should be the government's top priority. So you can see that this argument is raging among the public and the government and Silicon Valley. It's going to be a big one.
All right. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood in San Francisco. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Speaking of which, Microsoft is saying it'll now warn users of its services, including Outlook, email, and Hotmail, when it learns accounts are being hacked into by governments. Reuters is reporting that Microsoft learned several years ago that Chinese authorities had snuck into more than 1,000 Hotmail accounts to spy on leaders of Tibetan and Uyghur minorities in China. Microsoft says as the threat landscape has evolved, its approach is also evolving now, and the company will now, quote, go beyond notification and guidance to specify if it reasonably believes the attacker is state-sponsored. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.